Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on 15 news stories that you'll never hear when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership, private property, and private rights, but we also use terms like stocks and bonds and negotiable instruments and licenses and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? That bonds are the exact opposite to private property? That public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights, and permits are the exact opposite to private business? And why is it that we see small businesses across America and around the world being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level, from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, Zoning and Planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies who are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot that you can do, and the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, just call and order my free general law CD package, and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about private business. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and request your free general law CD package over the internet. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, the last couple of programs we've been talking about the Money Changer. I gave you two or three articles out of the Money Changer talking about some current events. There are two other top-of-the-line newsletters. One's called The Privateer, the other's called The International Forecaster, and there's many, many of them out there. Jim Poplava, P-U-P, I don't know if it's poop or pup, but it's Jim Poplava, puts out one. A fellow by the name of Peter Schiff puts out one. Don McIlvaney. You know, there's just a plethora of good, hard-hitting economic and current events newsletters to keep you informed as to what the hell's going on out here in the real world as opposed to la-la land in Washington, D.C. or in your state capital. Now, I recommended highly the Money Changer last time. Now, there's another newsletter here. It's a 12-page newsletter, comes out twice a month, called The Privateer, published down in Australia. And this guy has a view of the world that I can honest to God say that nobody else in the world has. And I kind of laugh a little bit sometimes when I read The Privateer. He takes offense here at the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But I'm going to recommend his newsletter anyway, and I'll tell you a little story about it. The Privateer is probably the best source of education in economics that you're going to find anywhere. Most economic writers, when they write their information, they presume that you're already a stock and bond investor and you already know everything that's going on and that you're an expert, and then they just give you the numbers and they tell you the facts and here's where the bodies are buried. But The Privateer is like economics 101. It's the kind of newsletter that a guy like me, a plumber or a carpenter, a contractor needs, because he explains why it works that way and what the history behind it is. It's really unique. Now, I can't tell you anything about it. I would like to read to you from The Privateer, and I would like to give you some examples, but I can't. And I can't because this newsletter is for sale. It's $180 a year, Australian, probably about 130 or 40 American. But most newsletter writers put me on their mailing list, you know, if I give them any kind of a clue or inclination that I'm interested. If I write them a letter or send them an email and say, listen, I saw a copy of your newsletter, send me some sample copies so that I can make some comments about them. They usually put me on their mailing list. They want the advertising. The Privateer is exactly the opposite. I sent the guy an email and I said, I reviewed your Privateer, really liked it, and he sent me back a letter and he said, don't you review my paper again, and I don't want you to, and he wanted to know where I got a copy of it. I mean, he was just really guarded. The guy's name is Buckler, B-U-C-K-L-E-R, and I'm not criticizing the guy. After all, it's his work and it's his property, and he certainly has a right to his property. But the reason I'm taking a little time here to explain it to you is that in the Money Changer, I read some articles. Those are some real sample, down-to-earth articles from a guy who I highly regard and highly respect as being somebody that knows what he's talking about. And then he doesn't just cover the economics. He covers news articles like this animal identification article that I gave you, as does the International Forecaster. Now, the privateer is a little different. It's pretty much down the road economics, but it's economics that's so hard-hitting and so important that I highly recommend the privateer simply for the educational value. You cannot go to college and get an education in economics in college, and I don't care how much you're spending or what Ivy League school you're going to, that you're going to get out of the privateer. That's how valuable this is. I don't know what the price is. $180 is just dirt cheap for the education that you're going to get. So write this down. Write it down. And if you can't afford the privateer, why don't you do this? Why don't you team up with two or three other guys? And one of you subscribe to the privateer, and then one of you subscribe to the International Forecaster, and then one of you subscribe to the Money Changer, and then exchange that information among yourself, just three or four of you, a little group over here. And it'll help you cut down on the price, and it will give you a world bird's eye view of what's really happening here on planet Earth, not just in the United States, but here on planet Earth. Now, these people are writing, the privateer, from Australia. And I think the guy's an American. He sounds to me like he's a Yank who's gone down to Australia. And he also covers news events. For instance, in one of the articles here, he gives you the news event that's going on down in Australia about how Australia has already incorporated these hate crime legislation, or this hate crime legislation, in the same way that Nazi Germany did back in the 1930s. They already have a Nazi police state in Australia, and it's shortly coming to France, and it'll shortly come to the United States, and it's an event that's about to transpire around the world. So let me give you the name and address of it. I'd like to give you some short pieces out of the paper, but he told me he didn't want me to do that, so I'm going to honor his desires. But the publisher is a fellow by the name of William A.M. Buckler, B-U-C-K-L-E-R, P.O. Box 2004 in Noosa Heads, Queensland, Australia, 4567. Now, it's Noosa, N-O-O-S-A, Heads, Queensland, 4567, Australia. Now, they've got an email down there. It's called The Privateer. So it's the hyphen privateer.com. That's their webpage. Now, there's a hyphen between the and privateer. Then, if you want to send an email, you go to capt@the-privateer.com. That's capt@the-privateer.com. Subscriptions are in Australian dollars. 6 months is 100. 25 issues, $180. 2 year, 50 issues, $300 in Australian. And, of course, Australian residents, please add 10% for the GST. Now, I imagine that GST must be their sales tax. You believe that? They got a 10%. You know, God wanted 10% total tax, period. These guys have a 10% sales tax, from what it appears to me. All right, now, I can't read you anything out of the privateer, but I want to tell you from my personal observation and my personal, let me put my own personal view on this. For educational purposes, not just news, not just economics, but for educational purposes, that $180 a year, you couldn't duplicate that in the Harvard Business School. And I think this guy is smarter than the Harvard Business School, if you want my opinion. Smarter than the Harvard Business School, and probably you could lump in Princeton and Yale right along with it. I'm just sorry that the guy doesn't like me, or he doesn't like the Law Hour and Editorial Review, but then that happens. You can't please everybody all the time. But irrespective of his view of us here, we have a very high regard and a very high view of the privateer. So put that on your list. Now, you got the Money Changer, number one. You got the privateer here, number two. And I'm not listing these in any particular order of importance. But now I'm going to cover 15 news stories that come from probably the biggest of the newsletters. The International Forecaster is put out by a guy named Bob Chapman down in Punta Gorda, Florida, P-U-N-T-A-G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951 is the zip code. You want to get that down, get the information, because this newsletter is about 40 pages every week, 40 pages a week. I mean, you've got to put your mind to reading this newsletter every week to get all of the information out of it. And I have never seen a newsletter that has this much information. They must have a staff going through all of the major news media, and that's just the above ground media. Then they've got to have spies that are going through all of the unusual news media, such as Treasury reports and bond reports and the American Bankers Association reports and so on, to get this much information out to you. So I've selected about 15 stories here, and I'm going to put these stories out here on the air. Let's take a look at them here today and tomorrow, and ask yourself this: have you ever heard this before? Have you heard these stories before? I have never heard them anywhere else other than the international forecaster, the privateer, or from the money changer, or Don McElveny, or you know, somebody in the underground press. Now, I don't know this positively, but I think that Chapman is a former CIA agent. If he's not, he's some kind of a government agent, or he's got pretty good connections with the government and with the spy people in government. Not that there's any top secrets that I think that are going out here, but you can rest assured that the nightly business report on PBS is pablum, absolute pablum, compared to the information that is contained here in the International Forecaster. So get your pen and paper out here and get this down. I'll give you another name and address here as we progress. But this is the October 2005, number 4 issue, volume 9, number 10-4. I think if you wrote and said, hey, send me a couple of sample copies, would you? You know, Gordon is recommending it. You can drop my name here because Chapman doesn't have any reservations at all. He said, I can quote him anytime. I can read his newsletter. I can take excerpts out of it. He's tickled to death to have the publicity and the advertisement. But here's the address. It's the International Forecaster, Post Office Box 510, 518, six digits. That's 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. And he says, you've got to have that entire zip code. If you don't, they won't get the letter. It's an international financial, economic, political, and social commentary published and edited by Bob Chapman. The email address is theinternationalforecaster@yahoo.com. It's two words, internationalforecaster, two words, at yahoo.com. And, of course, their website address is www.theinternationalforecaster, all one word, theinternationalforecaster, all one word, .com. All right, let me start off here. The page 3 begins with a story on U.S. markets. Economic time bomb. The centralized top-down approach of the present administration is not working, and the public realizes that something is wrong. Americans are losing confidence in their government, and this lack of faith comes at a time when we face a financial, economic, and monetary collapse. If we collapse, the whole world collapses with us. The administration, the Congress, and the public do not want to deal with it. They want it to go away, and it isn't going to go away. Americans are apathetic, and they simply refuse to deal with the truth. Our financial and economic situation today is as dangerous as it gets. So let's hope that they wake up soon. Now, I was doing a little homework here, and I noticed that the government, under the Bush administration, is working on 4 areas of the economy that are absolutely guaranteed, any one of them by itself, but all 4 of them together, absolutely guaranteed to collapse the economy. And I think that the New World Order is about to move, and that their next move is to collapse the world's economy, put everybody into total chaos, and then they will come forward with their plan. This is where we're going to create the problem, and then we'll come along when you people are so confused and in so much distress, we will promote the solution. And of course, the solution is the One World New World Order. This is what they want to do. So we're going to collapse the economy. Now, they have changed the bankruptcy laws here in the United States so that you people that are now in debt cannot discharge that debt. You got that? On October the 17th, the law went into effect. So if you're in debt, you're going to be a perpetual wage or credit debt serf probably for the rest of your life. And that's the breaks of the game. Now, there is a narrow window for you wage slaves and you debt slaves to get out of, but it isn't going to be through bankruptcy. You've got to have a little different legal solution than bankruptcy. See, it used to be you could go out and borrow, run up your credit cards, buy a house, and do all these things, and then when you got in over your head and you couldn't make your payments, you could bankrupt out of it. It was not a good solution, but it was a solution. Today, you can't do that. And I suspect that that was done with specificity at this juncture of time because they're getting ready to close the gate on the pigs of the Okefenokee. Second thing is credit card payments now are doubled. So at the same time that they're shutting the door on bankruptcy to you, not that you can't file for bankruptcy and not that you can't get some relief, but you can't discharge all of it. They are now doubling your minimum credit card payments. So if you were paying minimum credit card payments on your 6 or 8 credit cards, let's say it was $200 a month, it's now $400. Now, I forgot the numbers here. Every once in a while I see these numbers and I can't keep all of them straight in my head, but it's around 30% of the people in America that are so strung out in debt that they are making minimum payments on their credit cards. Now, if you people are so strung out that you can only make the minimum payments and we're going to double your minimum payments, is that going to help you or is that going to harm you in your economic recovery plan, if indeed you even have an economic recovery plan? Okay, that's 2. Now, hyperinflation is on its way, And we now have a new Fed chairman who's been nominated by the president. We call him Helicopter Ben. All of the newsletter writers are calling this guy Helicopter Ben. He's the guy that said if we need to prevent deflation, we will throw $100 bills out of helicopters. Okay, that's liquidity. Now, of course, he was saying that allegorically. He is not going to throw $100 bills out of helicopters, but they're going to lend it. They're going to make it easy. They're going to do whatever they have to keep the liquidity going. That's going to bring on hyperinflation. That will bring about the same result as the collapse of the Weimar Republic in Germany in 1923. Now, there's a fourth thing here that's being proposed, and it's in the hopper, and you can expect this to be enacted. It's a part of a tax reform package called the mortgage interest deduction is going to be eliminated, or it's going to be modified to such a degree that you're not going to be able to make your $1,000 a month payment on your house and deduct $700 of it as interest. You see, every dollar that you deduct as interest, then the government doesn't get the tax, so they're going to take that out. Now, when you take that out, this housing market is upside down. I mean, you people can't make these payments as it is, which is evidenced by the fact that you're making minimum payments on your credit cards. Now we're going to take away your tax deduction on the interest that you're paying on this house, which is about 90% of the payment, and then we're going to tax you. There's a fifth thing over here that's guaranteed to turn you upside down, and it's called the alternative minimum tax. If we don't get taxes from you directly, then there's an alternative minimum tax, and this is going to hit the middle income people in the country like a sledgehammer on your head. And that's growing every single year. It's already programmed into the tax code. So while George Bush said, we're going to lower your taxes, and he talks about lowering taxes constantly, he's not going to raise your taxes to finance the war or to finance Hurricane Katrina. What he's going to do is take away your deductions. And that's being done under the table. And in order to slip this through Congress, they're going to need some kind of a diversionary tactic. And I'm picking war with Iran or Syria. And when that war gets cooking over there, you people are going to be so hopped up and so intent upon that war and that war story that you'll never pay any attention to what they're doing in the Congress as they pass this legislation to lift your wallet right out of your back pocket. So tuck that one away in your heart. There's an economic time bomb that's already ticking away, reported here in the International Forecaster. Now, AOL. You ever heard about AOL? Time Warner? Did you know that that's a spy agency and that your emails are being read and many of your emails don't even get to where they're going because it goes through a censorship process? Here's your second story. You probably never heard this. AOL has been, since its inception, an operating entity of the U.S. intelligence apparatus. Their latest admission is that they have formed a partnership with Fatherland Security to permit unlimited surveillance on all AOL subscribers, as reported by the U.S. Department of Commerce. They, for many years, have supplied intelligence on subscribers, and they have allowed government agencies free access. Now, we have reported this to you time after time over the past 10 years. What AOL did illegally for many years was legalized under the Patriot Act, which permits warrantless searches of persons and property. So if you use AOL, all of your personal emails and personal information is distributed to law enforcement all over the country. American and European business communities are fearful trade secrets may end up in the hands of the Bush crime family and their associates worldwide, never mind the dossiers that are being built upon average American citizens. We have had extensive problems with sending to AOL subscribers for many years. AOL has blocked any messages that contain links to sites that AOL forbids you to see. Using software, AOL is able to kick back any email that even mentions a forbidden site. AOL members can whitelist senders, but it has no effect at all on the pre-filtering that AOL does before the email ever gets delivered. One journalist said that AOL bounced 88% of the newsletters that had been sent to subscribers who use the AOL service, including CS.com and Netscape.net. AOL deletes huge quantities of mail prior to delivery. In August, AOL paid $1.25 million in penalties and costs and has to reform some of its customer services practices to settle an investigation by AG Elliot Spitzer's office. 300 customers said AOL ignored demands to cancel their service and to stop billing them. That's been going on for 6 years. In similar complaints, in April, they paid a $75,000 fine to the AG in Ohio, and the complaints are legion. A site just dropped all of its AOL subscribers because AOL wouldn't deliver to their subscribers. So we want to warn you again now that it's only a matter of time before we have to drop AOL because they simply will not deliver our newsletters. If you're an email subscriber, we advise you to find another ISP server. Every week we have problems that you can avoid by simply changing your carrier. All right, so there's the AOL story. Remember Hillary Clinton, President Clinton's wife? Do you remember she made a deal one time in which she made some money on some livestock futures? Now, Hillary Clinton has about as much to do with agriculture and about as much to do with buying and selling livestock and livestock futures as I have in the space race or as an astronaut. And she made $100,000 in the process. Now, here's a novice woman, never did a livestock trade in her life. She goes in, makes a livestock trade, pulls $100,000 out, and goes about her merry business, merry way, and I'll bet you she's never made another trade since. Now, what that is, boys and girls, is a payoff. She did something for somebody, and she got paid $100,000. Now, you can't just write a check out of your account and then put in the memo line, bribe or payoff. You have to be intelligent when you're bribing and paying off public officials. And so, here's the way that story works. In August, that was the AOL story, you might go back in history. Here's the Hillary story. You might go back in history to the Hillary Clinton REFCO cattle futures episode. Now, take this word, R-E-F-C-O. Write that down, R-E-F-C-O. It's a big futures organization, a big futures trading house that just went bankrupt. And it may bring the economic system down. We don't know what the outcome is going to be yet. They're in receivership. But write the name down, REFCO, because here's the way this $100,000 payoff was made to Hillary. Hillary had $1,000 in her account, and she bought 10 cattle futures contracts, for which normally you would need $12,000 in collateral in the account. Hillary had $1,000. Now, Hillary made $100,000 in profit on that transaction. Her broker, Robert Redbone, was also a broker for the general counsel for Tyson Foods. After an investigation, REFCO was fined $250,000 for trading practices in cattle futures, then the largest fine ever by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That was Hillary's first and only ever cattle futures trade. It obviously was a political payoff, and REFCO was right in the middle of it. So that's the way that deal was made. Now, there's a couple of more REFCO stories in here, which we will cover as we proceed along through these 15 news stories that you'll never hear or never see on the mainstream media. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. I oftentimes talk to people and take a little break here, and they'll tell me that, well, I got you on the radio here, Mr. Gordon, but I can only listen to you on my way to work, and I can't get you every day, and I'd like to get more of your programs. And they'll call here, and they want to know if they can get these programs on compact disc. The answer is yes, you can. And you can call here, and we'll copy these, but you got to pay for them. I don't know what the price is. I guess I ought to find out. But you can download these programs free off of your computer, and you can get it in 16 and 32-bit quality. I mean, it's pretty good quality stuff. It's radio broadcast quality. It's music quality sound, which is why we changed this format here about a year or so ago. So all you got to do, if you're listening on the radio and you get little bits and pieces of the program and you say to yourself, well, gee, I'd like to listen to it, I'd like to see more of them, just go to our website, georgegordon.org, click on it. And I'm not a computer man, so I can't tell you what to do or how to do it here, but you go down this computer shopping list or web page or whatever the hell they call it, and you get down here and you'll see that there's archives in there, and all these programs are listed on there in alphabetical order by title. And then they're also on there by date. So if you said, well, I heard this program on, you know, blah, blah date, if you look up the date over there and then, you know, the title of the program, you don't need both, just one or the other, you can get that program. And then they're usually in a series of seven, not always, but most often they're in a series of seven programs, where we take a particular topic. Like this week here, we're talking about newsletters, talking about the money changer, the international forecaster, the privateer, and you can download those free of charge. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, so to order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. That's a free CD package. It's got three CDs in there, covers our eight schools, tells you where the bodies are buried. Here's what we do, here's how we do it, here's why the game is played that way, so on. And And you can also order that free CD package by going to our webpage, georgegordon.org. Send us an email. Just click onto the email and send an email request. And then finally, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers or the sponsors or management or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. So don't blame anybody but me. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, so we just covered corruption, Hillary Clinton. I want to point out, did you know how much Hillary Clinton made the last year that she worked there at the Rose Law Firm? The number was $527,000 a year. $500,000 a year. Now, do you think that Hillary Clinton left the Rose Law Firm to become First Lady with no salary, free of charge? I mean, that woman's a pretty talented lady. And, you know, people like that are pretty ambitious and they want to get paid. And so they do a lot of undercover, under-the-table work. And old Joe Stalin kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, he said, it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes that counts. So what goes on in government above board and above the table is only a part, probably a large part, maybe the biggest part, but it's not the only part of what goes on in business. As you can see now, under this Republican administration, we don't even have bidding. If you want a government contract, you don't get out there in the marketplace and bid against other contractors. Halliburton has just awarded the contracts. I don't know if you knew that, but you know, how they get away with doing that, I don't know. I'm not into contracting. I haven't researched that out. But it used to be here in America that if you wanted a government contract, you had to submit a bid. It's a written bid. I'll describe it for you. I used to be in this business. I'm a contractor. Let's suppose that the state of Idaho wants to build a bridge across Wild Horse Creek. They have an architectural firm draw that up, you know, the Department of Transportation of Idaho or the U.S. government or the U.S. Army or whoever's letting out this bid. And you got these specifications. And so they will announce these bids. They publish these bids. They want as many people to know about it as possible. They want 1,000 contractors to submit a bid on the bridge across Wild Horse Creek. And so they give you the specifications, and we take those specifications back to our office, and we add up how many yards of concrete go into it and how many tons of steel go into it. And they tell you that this bridge has to be completed in 18 months. And then they go so far as to tell you, if you don't complete this bridge in 18 months, we're going to charge you $100 a day for every day that it takes you longer than that time frame to build it. And they've got all these specifications, and you look at it, and you submit a bid. And so we might bid $2.4 million on that. And then some other guy, he bids $2.3 million. And he gets down, they take the lowest bidder. Now, they don't have to take the lowest bidder. There's also a provision in the contract that says that, you know, if you're Joe Doakes over here, and you can't put up the performance bond, so you're going to have to put up a $2.5 million performance bond. So you got to have some connections, and you got to have some money, and you got to be a company that's big enough, has enough resources to take on a job of that size. I mean, you know, this can't be Bob and Earl's concrete patching company. They're not going to award the contract to George and Earl. But, you know, once you get into the bidding business, you take some small projects and you finish those and you keep working your way up. Well, Halliburton is a big multinational corporation, and they bid on big jobs. I mean, they're kind of like Guyf Atkinson, and there's Halliburton, and then there's Bechtel, and these big multinational corporations, and they bid on billion-dollar jobs. But, you know, Halliburton isn't the only one. And so what they've done is they've divided up the market. Bechtel over here, they take no-bid jobs, and Halliburton takes no-bid jobs, and the government's just awarding these jobs as fast as they can. And here comes Bob Chapman along, and he's going to tell us the story that goes along with these no-bid Halliburton jobs. How in the hell do they do that, and how do they get away with it? You know, what's the story behind it? Now, you don't find American corporations more reprehensible than Halliburton. They are now hiring third world nationals and hiring them to work in Iraq for $1.56 an hour. Got that? Halliburton is hiring Mexicans, taking them over there to Iraq and paying them $1.56 an hour. Or Filipinos, or people from Malaysia or Indonesia. While most Americans hired are making $80,000 a year and upward. Now, that is 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. These virtual slaves come from the Philippines, Nepal, Pakistan, India, and Turkey. These people work for contractors for Halliburton and Bechtel. Now, that's why there is no work for the Iraqis. Let me repeat that. That's why there's no work for the Iraqis. Now, there's all this unemployment over there in Iraq. We are spending money over in Iraq at the rate of $6 billion a month. That's $6,000 million dollars a month. Let's just take $6,000 and divide that by 30 days. That's $200 million a day $200 million a day that you American taxpayers are ponying up there. And you've got all this unemployment and unrest over in Iraq. And that's because Halliburton is taking these no-bid contracts. Then they hire laborers from India and Pakistan and all over and pay them $1.56 an hour. Now listen, Halliburton doesn't do that. Halliburton takes the contract. Then Halliburton comes along to the Joe Sixpack Contracting Company of the Philippines or Nepal or Turkey or somebody, and they subcontract out bits and portions. Let me give you an illustration. Halliburton takes a job that the U.S. government puts out in that bid, and there should be four or five Halliburtons and Bechtels and Atkinsons and others bidding on building a $1 billion dam. All right, let's just take a dam. Well, there's a lot of little work that gets done. And one of the little jobs to do this will be to build a building, and let's just call this a pump station. And this pump station is maybe a $5 million job. So Halliburton subcontracts out that $5 million job, and maybe it's taken on by the Ajax subcontracting company of Pakistan, who then brings in the Pakistani workers at $1.56 an hour or whatever the hell they want to pay them. And it doesn't employ anybody from Iraq, doesn't employ anybody from America. Now, it would seem like to me, and we have an act over here in the United States called the Davis-Bacon Act, passed back in the Depression years. And what the Davis-Bacon Act did was, if you're going to work on a government project like Boulder Dam or Hoover Dam or on a federal highway or something like that, you got to pay the prevailing wages. Oh, no, not by Halliburton. Now, this same Halliburton is going down there, and they're going to rebuild New Orleans. And right now, today, they're bringing in workers from Latin America. I mean, it isn't that these guys have already swam across the river, and they're already here. They're not here. Halliburton is going down to Central and South America, and they're hiring workers and bringing them in to work on their projects that they're getting in New Orleans today. Have you heard that story? Now, of course, the argument is that those blacks down there in New Orleans don't want to work anyway. And that may or may not be true. I don't know. But it would seem like to me that if we're going to spend $500 billion of taxpayer money, that we ought to spend it at home. You know, charity begins at home, and we ought to hire American workers to work in New Orleans. And we ought to put those jobs out to bid, you know, so that Halliburton has to bid against Bechtel, and Bechtel has to bid against Atkinson, and Atkinson's got to bid against somebody else. But they don't. Now, maybe you've never heard this before, but I just thought I'd tell you. Now, this is a report now that comes from the International Forecaster on page 7. All right, now, this is a layered system that not only cuts costs for the prime contractors, but also creates an untraceable trail of contracts that clouds the liability of companies and hinders comprehensive oversight by U.S. contract auditors. In addition, it is impossible to tell how many U.S. or foreign nationals are working in Iraq. The menial wages paid to these people from third world countries working for mostly American contractors may be the most significant factor in the Pentagon's argument that outsourcing military support is far more cost efficient for our government and their contractors who hire these laborers at slave labor wages. These workers live and eat like animals in 120 degree heat. They have neither safety equipment nor protection from incoming mortars or rockets. They originally are hired to work in Kuwait or other Middle Eastern countries and then are pressured to go to Iraq. They make up 35,000 of Kellogg Brown and Root's 48,000 workers in Iraq. For the menial pay they receive, they're killed in mortar attacks or are shot. Now, you might say they're expendable. A little over a year ago, 12 Nepalese cooks and cleaners were beheaded by insurgents. Nepal has since banned its citizens from working in Iraq. All right, so there's your Halliburton story. We find Halliburton number 11 down here and circle it off. Told you about the AOL spy story over here, the corruption. Let's take a look here at inflation. Now, you saw the inflation figures in the last issue, and as you well know by now, the figures are totally divorced from reality. They're called hedonic, H-E-D-O-N-I-C, hedonic. Now, for those of you that don't know what this is, let me tell you a little story here. And we have an outfit called the Department of Labor, and there's a Secretary of Labor, and he sits around the table with the President, and he advises the President on labor and labor issues here in the country. Well, the Department of Labor keeps a lot of statistics and facts and figures, and one of their jobs is called the Consumer Price Index. And they go out into the marketplace, and they monitor inflation. This is your government at work. These are your tax dollars at work, and it's called the CPI. And based upon the CPI, if there's inflation in the economy of 3%, then Social Security, as an example, and many labor contracts, for example, the AFL-CIO has a contract, let's say, with General Motors, and in the contract it says, you know, adjusted for inflation. So every year if inflation goes up 3%, workers' wages go up 3%. Well, the Congress one day woke up back in the Clinton years, and they said, hey, you know, this consumer price index over here is actually probably pretty much on point. It identifies those things in the economy that are going up in price. And every time it goes up 3%, we got to raise the benefits for our Social Security recipients by 3%. And that amounts to many billions of dollars every month. And so let's figure out a way that we can fix that. So their argument was that it was overpaying these people. If they were getting a 3% rise in the CPI inflation index, when in reality inflation was really only running 1 or 2%. And they said, let's use hedonics. For instance, the price of gasoline went up. Remember after Hurricane Katrina, the price of gas went up. In our area here, it was $1.59, and it went up to $3.25, and now it's down to $1.99. All right? So they said, well, we don't want you to add in the price from $1.50 to $3.25. We just want you to add in the price that goes from $1.59 to $1.99. That's 40 cents, not $1.50. And they're not lying to you. They're telling you the truth there, and that's exactly correct. But couldn't we take the price of gasoline averaged over the whole year, average in the $1.50, average in the 40 cents, and hell, the price of gas might go down to $1.20. And we average the whole thing out, and at the end of the year, was it a plus or minus? No, they don't do that. So what they do is they take the price of gas and they say, well, it went up 40 cents. And they adjust that. And they do that with a whole host and plethora of things over here. Let's say they do it with housing prices. Now, the prices of houses has been going up at double-digit rates for the last 5 years. Now, while people are buying new houses, they're not renting. So there's a glut of rentals in the marketplace. So rents haven't been going up. Rents over the last 5 years have been going up 1% a year. Housing prices have been going up 10, 15, 20% a year. The real cost of housing, boys and girls, is the average of new prices on houses and the 1% raise in rents, and you average that out, and it's going to be 10%, not 1%. But they don't even take into consideration the inflation in housing prices. They just use the inflation in the rental price. And this goes with houses and automobiles and gasoline and on it goes. This is called hedonic adjustments. It's as phony as a Federal Reserve note. Has been from the get-go. Now that's where that story's at. They are called hedonic. Now in 1982, the government changed the way that it calculated the housing portion of the CPI. If you use the old method, you would find that inflation is 5.3% today, and core inflation is 4.3%. This is a far cry from the 4.4% and 2.2%, which we are told inflation is actually running today. That is why 10-year U.S. Treasury note yields are headed back to 7 and 8% shortly. And that would put 30-year fixed mortgage rates at 8.5% to 10%. And that would mean, as it did in the 1989 to 1992 period, that real estate in the 30 hot major markets in America would fall by 40 to 70%. Now, debt is 10 times higher today than in that previous time frame in 1989 to 1992, which means that the correction could be even worse than that. All right, boys and girls, let's pause here for a moment. Can you picture for a moment the value of your house dropping by 40%? Let's suppose you got a $250,000 house, and it drops in value by 40%. Let's just take 250 times 0.40. It's going to drop by $100,000 in value. Your $250,000 house will drop to $150,000. Now, do you have $100,000 worth of equity in your house? Because if you do, it's going to be wiped out. It could be worse than that. What if you got $50,000 worth of equity in your house, and it drops by 40%? My God. You're going to have a $200,000 mortgage and a $150,000 house. Now, how's that going to play out in your budget? I mean, boys and girls, let's wake up to reality. Here's where we're headed. This is what's going on around you. Now, the government currently assumes housing costs are 23% of the CPI today, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Bureau, as I told you about here, in the Labor Department, uses what they call owner's equivalent rent of primary residence for the housing portion of the CPI. The theory is, the owners are leasing the house from themselves and paying implied rent for that service. Not only is the concept distorted, but the results of these numbers are distorted as well. The switch to owning from renting has put downward pressure on rental rates as a result. Last year, rents in New York City were up only 1.9%, 1.8% in Tampa, and just 0.3% in Boston and San Francisco. The difference is an inflation increase in renting of 1.1% and an increase in housing of 14.7%. Now, if you add in the real estate taxes of 6%, you've got 14.7% plus 6%. That totals 20%. Housing in America, boys and girls, is going up at the rate of 20% a year. We haven't seen anything like this since the 1979 period. Now, did you read about that in the Wall Street Journal? Are you getting these numbers out of USA Today? Did you hear about this on the CBS Evening News? Well, that's why I'm telling you. These newsletters cost, this international forecaster costs you $130 a year. and it's about 40 pages a week. Now let's take 40 pages times 52 weeks is 2,080 pages. 2,080 pages for $130. So that's 130.00 divided by 2,080 is 6 cents a page. Would you pay 6 cents to read that page number 4 on inflation? Is it worth that much to you? I say it's so damn cheap that it isn't even worth mentioning. And I can't get that kind of information out of the Wall Street Journal or out of USA Today. I can't get that information. Now, I mentioned this to you as a businessman. I make my decisions based upon the input of information that comes into my computer. So my brain is my computer, and I read these kinds of numbers, and I say, uh-oh, I need to be preparing myself here for some pretty extensive inflationary problems coming up in the future. That the value of my real estate here is going to drop by 40 to 70%. Can I afford that? In my case, the answer is yes, I can. I'm free and clear. I don't have a debt. Now, if you've got a debt on your real estate, then you need to price that debt in, or you need to sell your real estate now and pass your real estate on to some other. It's like having the old maid in a card game. You need to pass your debt on to some other guy in the game that wants to play in this game. Years ago, I decided this was a game I needed to get out of. I'm just about out of time. I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll take up this inflation story next time on the International Forecaster. Remember, you can get a subscription to the International Forecaster by simply going to the web page. It's www.theinternationalforecaster.com. And if you want to send them an email, you can go International Forecaster, that's two words, International Forecaster at yahoo.com. Or you can write to them. It's Post Office Box 510-518, Punta, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951-0518. That zip code again, 33951-0518. Says you got to have all 9 digits in that zip code. We'll take it up right here next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review tomorrow. You've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, politics, religion, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.